This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Welcome to the Koilel Agra de Pirka of Kew Garden Hills, New York. And now that we have the, under the circumstances, so we're operating under a number of different venues. So we're on Zoom here, we're on the phone line. And we want to remind everyone, you could always catch the shiur on TorahAnytime.com, as well as on podcast, as well as on Shas Illuminated. Okay, so Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone. We were going to put a link to the new Sefer, but it's not available right now on the... there's no chat on the Zoom, but if anybody wants to order the new Sefer on Chanukah, you could go to our new website, RabbiDG.com, and it's available for order on Chanukah or the new Sefer on Rav Meir as well. Okay, so let us begin. We're going to speak about a subject that is not recorded anywhere. Not on Torah Anytime, not on Shas Illuminated, not on podcast. This is not a shiur that... this shiur I gave such a long time ago, it was before the electricity was discovered even. There was no technology back then. And we're going to try to enhance and elaborate on a very interesting observation on Parshas Vayishlach primarily, and on Parshas Vayetze as well. Okay, so let us begin. We're going to start with the comments of the Sfarno. The Sfarno is Parshas Vayeshev. And the Sfarno tells us, Vayeshev Yaakov, Vayeshev Yaakov, Biyaretz Megurei Aviv, Biyaretz Kinoan Eile, Toledos Yaakov. These are the Toledos of Yaakov. Yosef. So the Sfarno says, what does it mean? These are the children of Yaakov, because it doesn't list the children of Yaakov. It just talks about the happening, so to speak. Rabbi Moskowitz, if you could mute the phone line so I don't hear the background noise. Thanks. Ayla, sorry, if I could ask everybody on the phone to just kindly mute your phones. Thank you. Ela told us Yaakov.
Somebody else may not be muted, but I'm muted.
Oh, no, on the phone line. Okay. Ma'oirav, the happenings, v'yal de'yoyim, and the occurrences of the day, alav, achar she'yashav sham, after he lived there. Meaning, what happened to Yaakov after he lived there? Ki me'oz she'yatsa mi'beis aviv. When Yaakov left his father's house, and that took place in Parshas Toldos. Hayu inyanav k'may kairoisa begalus rishain. What happened to Yaakov Avinu when he left his father's house, when he left to Lavan, that was the pre-enactment and the Maasei Avosim and Labanim to what happened to the Jewish people in our first exile. U'me'oz shechazar el eretz megurei aviv. When Yaakov Avinu returned to the land of the sojourning of his father, hayu kairoisav, then what happened to him, k'may sheyikra lanu, what happened to us, b'bayasheni, during the second temple period, v'chorbanoi, and its destruction, v'galusoi, and the exile, u'galusoi, u'ge'ulasoi, and the redemption, l'ketz hayamin. Now, the Sfarno is revealing to us a very interesting point, that when Yaakov Avinu left his father's house, that was a reference to Chorban Bayis Rishon. But when he came back to Yitzchak Avinu, in Parshas Vayishlach, then everything that occurred to him was the pre-enactment of what would occur to the Jewish people in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So if you would want to know, where is there a remez to the dangers of the Yavanim and the golos of Yavan and the sakana of the Greek exile, that would have to be found in Parshas Vayishlach and on. Once Yaakov Avinu returns to Eretz Megurei Aviv. Now the Or Gedaliahu, Rav Gedaliah Shor, in Parshas Vayishlach, he takes two midrashim, and amazingly he combines them together, and both of these midrashim are commenting on a pasuk at the end of the third parak of Sefer Iyov, where Eiv says, Parak Gimel Pasuk Chaf Hei, Loi Shalavti, I did not have shalva, tranquility, Veloi Shakatti, and I did not have respite, Veloi Nachti, and I did not have Menucha, Vayavoi Roiges, all I had was anger. Okay, if you happen to have a Sefer Eov accessible to you, let's say you're standing by the Western Wall, so right on the left side of the, there's a little bookcase, they have a Tanakh over there, or wherever you might be standing, so I see Michael, you're in Rabbi Obam Shul, it's right over there, there should be a Sefer Eov. Yeah, so if you look at the end of the third parak of Sefer Eov, we find that Eov said, I did not have Shalva, Hashgate, Menucha, all I had was Roiges. And very interestingly, there are two midrashim on this pasuk. The Har Gedal Yohu brings, if you look on your sheet, he brings the Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Pei Dalet Ois Beis, Loi Shalavti, I didn't have tranquility from Esav, V'loi Shakarati, I didn't have respite, Milavan, V'loi Nachati, and I didn't have Menucha, Midina, V'yavei Roiges, Ba'alai Roigzoi Shal Yosef, I had the trouble of Yosef. Umatzina b'makom acher, we find elsewhere, Shadarshu in Shemois Rabba, Vayavoy Amalek, Hadahu dechsev, Loishalavti mi Bavel, Veloishakarati mi Madai, Veloinochati mi Yavan, Vayavoy Roiges be'edoim. Says the Har Gedal Yohu, Beis HaMidrashos Ha'elu Matimos. These two midrashim, they match. They are symmetrical. Why? Ki Yaakov Avinu Avar Al Dalet Tsaros Ha'elu. Yaakov Avinu experienced these four tsaros, meaning Lavan, Dina, Esav, Lavan, Dina, and Yosef. And they correspond somehow to Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. Now, I would have thought that Edom, Roiges, corresponded to Esav. No. Yaakov Avinu traversed these four tsarais as a preparation, L'doirois Habayim, that they would have the ability, L'hachzik Mama, to withstand the test, B'yoysam Tachas Hadar Malchios. V'hakol hu b'bechinas Masi Avisim L'banim. This was all under the guise of, not the guys, but under the rubric of Masi Avay Simen Labanim, not just like a simen, not just it was a remes to it, but literally when Yaakov Avinu was able to withstand these four tests, it gave Klal Yisrael the wherewithal to be able to overcome the four Malchios. Ela Shenosan Kachadoros Habam Lichboish Esaderach Kishiyu Him Bitzara. It gave the Kayach to the coming generations to pave the way that when they will be Betzara, Ukaloshan HaMedrash, like the Medrash says, Tse Ukvoish Lohem Es Hadarach, go and conquer the road. Uba Avuroi, Uve Avroi Dal Tsar Seil, Nosankar Sheyach Zikamam Vadal Golius. This gave us the ability to withstand. Uba Emes Dal Tsar Seil, Hindoimim Lahadalid Golius. The four personal tragedies and difficulties that Yaakov went through and experienced are very similar to the Dalet Golios. V'chol Tzara Mechuva Neged Golos Echad. Each Tzara is connected a different Tzara and different Golos. So we, for our purposes, we are going to, now, to me it's very interesting that the Tzara of Yosef corresponds to the Tzara of Edom. As we know, Yosef is, so to speak, the antidote to Edom. So the difficulty of Yosef and the anger of Yosef is, so to speak, a pre-enactment of the difficulty of Edom. However, for our purposes, we're going to focus on the words "V'lo nachti," and I did not rest. That refers to Tsaras Dina, and that refers to Tsaras Yavan. V'namoid al nekuda tsar shel Dina v'hagzer shel Yavan, and we're going to see how the difficulty and the Tsara of Dina is very similar to the decree of Yavan. Not only we're going to see how they're doime, both in the manner of the Gezerah and in the hidden intent behind the Gezerah and in what precipitated the Gezerah. Now, Just like Golos Yavan was unique in its kind, because it was the only Golos was when we were living in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Bavel, we were exiled from Israel. Persia, we were in the aftermath of Bavel. Edom, we were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. The only Golos that was extant while the temple stood was Golos Yavan. So too, the Tzara of Dina was when Yaakov returned to Eretz Yisrael. Lavan is when we left. Edom, Esav, is when before he got to the land. Not like the other Tzaras which were connected to Chutzaretz. This is all Merumas in the Drash of Chazal. V'loinachti. Loinachti is Yavan, and V'loinachti is Dina. Because the Tzara of Dina happened when Yaakov Avinu returned to the land. The Mefarshim explained the word Nachti is a lashon of Menuchas HaNefesh. Because they had Menucha at that time. They had a glimmer of Menucha. Namely, they had the Beis HaMikdash. They were in Eretz Yisrael. We know the Mikdash is sometimes referred to as Menucha. El HaMenucha V'El HaNachala. That's a drasha on Shiloh and Yerushalayim. So Yaakov Avinu was in the Makam HaMikdash. Like it says, Vayala and Sham. When he got, in other words, when Yaakov Avinu went to the Makam HaMikdash, what did he do? He slept there. Why is he sleeping there? Because it's on the Madrega, the Makam HaMikdash is the Makam of Menucha. So too, just like the Tzara of Dina was in Eretz Yisrael, the Tzara of Yavan was when we had the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yavanim disturbed our Menucha. V'loyinachti. We have a temple, but we don't have the Menucha of the temple. And therefore, Klal Yisrael bemoans their state, namely, we were in a state of V'loyinachti, we did not have Menucha. Furthermore, says Rav Gedal Yashar, he says, even in the manner of the Gezerah, the manner of the Gezerah of Yavan, well, what did Yavan try to do? They tried to contaminate the sanctity of the Jewish people. The Yavanim made the Gezerah, any Jewish woman who gets married has to have relations with the general first. Tibal letavsar tchila. They wanted to be mevatel, the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Amim. That's why they were mevatel mila. They were mevatel mila. That's what Shechem and Hamor wanted to do with the Ma'is of Dinah. They wanted to defile the sanctity of the Jewish people and defile Dina. Just like Chazal say, the Yavanim were goyzer, tibal letavsar tchila. The Yavanim also, they abolished Mila. They want to be mevatel, the hevdel, between the guf of the Jew and the guf of a goy. We say that sanctity, the Kedushas HaGuf, belongs only to the Jew. And we say that an Akum that does Mila is still an Aral. Because it's not dependent on the act of Mila, but the Akum has no connection to the Kedushas HaGuf, which is brought by the Mila. That's why Geirus is dependent on Mila, because Geirus is a sign of Kedusha in the Guf itself. Now, maybe I would say it's slightly different than the Rav Gedal Yashor. He says the men of Shechem agreed to mal themselves because they wanted to be mevatel, the hevdel between them and Klal Yisrael. They wanted to have a shaychus to Mila. Maybe we could say this was Yaakov Avinu's way of preparing the refuah for the Golos of Yavan. In other words, Yaakov Avinu knew that in Golos Yavan they would try to be mevatel the Mila, and therefore he instituted in this Golos, which was the pre-enactment of Golos Yavan, he instituted that they should dafka be noyeg b'mila, so to speak, to counteract the upcoming Zera. Now, amazingly, what's the first thing Yaakov Avinu does after the episode with Dina? So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, you know, you made a neder, and you said you're going to pour oil on the Mizbeach, and you're going to rededicate the Mizbeach. Says Rav Gedal Yashor, after the Ma'is of Dina, we find that Yaakov Avinu was commanded to build the Mizbeach. Like it says, V'yomer l'kimel Yaakov, kum alei beisel, v'shev sham ba'asei sham Mizbeach, to make a special mokoim for Hashvas HaShechina. Just like the Chashmonaim after the episode of Chanukah, they rededicated the Mikdash, but most notably, Chanukas HaMizbeach. They rededicated the Mizbeach. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, the Mizbeach Sheshiktsu Anshei Yavan. The Yavanim defiled the Mizbeach. So just like in the times of Chanukah, the Mizbeach was rededicated, Yaakov Avinu, in the aftermath of Tzar Azdina, he also rededicates the Mizbeach. Now, the Ibn Ezra says that the Pasuk, Elohei HaNecha Asher B'Soichachem, remove the foreign gods that are amidst you, that is a remez that you need to have purity of thought. That the erection of the Mizbeach and the place of Hashras HaShechina needs to be with absolute tahara, without any semblance of tumah. Similar to the Chinuch HaMikdash that the Chashmonaim did after the victory of the Yavanim, to be metahir the Mikdash from any tumah. And a miracle happened. What happened? And they were able to light with pure oil. Now it's interesting. Again, the Ibn Ezra says, remove the Elohei HaNecha Asher B'Soichachem. Remove any impurity. So Rabbi Gedalia Shor points out, in the times of Chanukah, they technically could have done the Avodah B'Tumah. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor. They didn't need Shemen Tahar. But as all the Mefarshim say, that even though Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, it's still called a Karban HaNaser B'Tumah. For example, he says, we know there's an Isser to break the bone of a Karban Pesach. However, even though Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor by the Karban Pesach, if you do bring the Pesach B'Tumah, you're allowed to break a bone. Because even though you're allowed to bring the Karban, it's still a Karban B'Tumah, and the Isser of Shviras Etzem does not apply. So when the Chashmonaim came to be Metayer, the Beis Hashem, they wanted to be Metayer, just like Yaakov Avinu had to free and clear his family from all Elohei HaNechar. The Chashmonaim wanted to be Metayer, the Avoida, in every possible way, and therefore they lit only with Shemen Tahar. It would not suffice to light with Shemen Tameh, because they wanted to be Mechanech the Menorah B'Tahara. Furthermore, since they wanted to inaugurate, and this was a new beginning, we don't say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor in the beginning, just like Yaakov Avinu inaugurated the Mizbeach. Similar to the command that the Bnei Yaakov had to eradicate any Avodah Zarah among them. So there should not be any impression of Avodah Zarah. So Yaakov Avinu says with Gedalia, Heichin haderech la'achashmanam shi'u b'yicholtam l'tara b'yis ha'mikdash b'kol shemet shal tumah and ti mechanech l'mizbeach. By the way, the Rav Gedalia Shor adds that we find in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that when Yaakov Avinu went up to Beis El, he placed there the Eben HaShisiyah. So not only did he rededicate the Mizbeach, but he laid the foundations for all of the Beis HaMikdash, so it was in effect a Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now, the Medrash Rabbah says on the Pasuk, Vayomer Elokim al Yaakov, Kum alei Beis El, that because Yaakov delayed fulfilling his nether, he made a nether to God. Right? So he promised that this stone would be the house of God, and he delayed. And Chazal say, because he delayed, he had the tzara of Dina, because he delayed. So why were Klal Yisrael in the times of the Yavanim punished that they defiled the Beis HaMikdash, and they had Saras Yavan? The Bach says, we were Nisrashel Ba'avoida, mamish parallel to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu delayed in fulfilling his nether to establish the Eben HaShisiyah on the Makom HaMikdash, and because of that he had Saras Dina. So too in the times of the Chashmonaim, they were Nisrashel Ba'avoida, so too they had Saras Yavan, until they were Moser Nefesh to restore the Avoida. So that in a sense is mamish like Saras Dina, that came because Yaakov was Nisrashel. So in other words, Yaakov was Nisrashel in fulfilling his neder, and he had Saras Dina. So Klal Yisrael, they were Nisrashel in the times of the Mikdash, and they had Saras Yavan. The Yavanim were Goyzer to defile the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, Tibal, Latafsar, Tchila. So to Saras Dina paralleled that. Yaakov Avinu, we want to say, instituted Mila to counteract the Gezerah of the Yavanim, who are Mevatel Mila. And Yaakov Avinu was commanded to purify his household and his thoughts and not to have any tumah in the rededication, which he did specifically of the Mizbeach. So too in the times of Chanukah, they did not rely on the heter of tumah, hutra, betzibor. Marv Raboisai, when did Saras Dina happen? When Yaakov returned back to the Holy Land. The Sfarno says that is a portent to the Tsarois of Bayesheni Anan, namely Chanukah. By the way, the Chafetz Chaim teaches that the encounter of Yaakov and Esav in the beginning of the Parsha is, so to speak, a remez to the Achris Hayomim and a remez to the fact that at the head of Yaakov's camp were the Bnei Hashvachos and their children, to indicate that in the end of days, the leaders of the Jewish people will be, instead of Gedolei Yisrael, will be others, similar to what Yaakov Avinu did, that he put the Bnei Hashvachos and their children first. Okay, Mar Rabbeisai, whenever I have a chance to speak about the great Tanner of Meir, you know, we always have to take advantage of that. And we could say as well, as Rashi says in the beginning of the parsha, Vayira Yaakov Ma'oid Vayetzer Loi. And Rashi says Yaakov was afraid that Esav would kill him. And he Vayetzer Loi Shema Yaharoig Acherim. He was afraid he would kill others. And we've said many times, why didn't Rashi say that he was afraid he would kill Esav? What are these others? So we mentioned from many, many sources that because of an episode that happened, Rav Meir was asked to leave the Beis HaMedrash, and he was given a new name, Achirim. We don't say over Torah in the name of Rav Meir, but Rav Shim Gamliel instituted that from henceforth we're going to call him Achirim. And we know Rabbi Meir came from Esav. When Neron Kezar was sent out to attack and destroy Yerushalayim, he fled, he converted, v'nafak minei Rav Meir. So Yaakov Avinu was afraid, Shema Yarog Achirim, that if he would kill Esav, he would end up killing Rav Meir. Now why in this context is Yaakov Avinu so scared that he's going to kill Rav Meir? So based on what we're learning from the Sfarno, it comes out very beautiful, that when Yaakov Avinu is returning back to the Holy Land, that represents the Churban Bayesheni until the Ikvasa de Mashicha, which is the time in our history which we especially need the Shita of Rav Meir, that no matter what Madrega we're on, we are always the children of Hashem. So that's an idea that we've mentioned in the past. Now, what I would like to do today, Rabbi Yisai, is based on this Or Gedaliyahu, that Saras Dina is, so to speak, a portent to the difficulty and the tzara of the Yavanim. So it would have to be that the miracle of Chanukah would also be alluded to in this week's Parsha. And in fact, we find something rather amazing. I believe that the miracle of Chanukah is alluded to in opposite order, even before the tzara of Dina, and we could consider this what we call creating the refuah before the makkah. In other words, we say Masei Avosim Labanim, and the tzara of Dina was a portent to the tzara of the Yavanim. And there is a miracle here in this parsha which is similar to the miracle of Chanukah, which actually transpires before Tzaras Dina. In effect, the Ribbono Shel Olam is paving the way for the Yeshua before even setting into motion the makkah. And that is, we have earlier on in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, Yaakov remained alone. Amru Chazal tell us, and this is a Chazal Rabin Bechaye brings, Al Tikri levado ela lechadoi. Yaakov went back not alone, but for his bottle. Yaakov left a jug Says the Shach al HaTorah, may ayin boloi ze'akad, where did this jug come from? Kishayakov sam ha'avana marashoy sav, when Yaakov put the stones by his head, v'hishkin ba'boik, and he woke up in the morning of Matzon, evan achas, and he found one stone. They all got together and they fused together to be one stone. V'nizbatzer loy kad shel shemen, and he had a fortification there of a jug of oil. V'yitzak al roisha, and he poured it on the stone. V'chazar akad v'nismaleh, and the jug filled up again. You hear what happened? Yaakov poured out the jug of oil, and when he finished pouring, the jug was full. Az yada Yaakov shu mezuman lebracha. Yaakov knew this was a special jug. V'amar ein zer roi la'anichaka, I can't leave it here. V'u ha-shemen shemishchu mena ha-mishkan, this was the shemen that ultimately was used to anoint the mishkan, v'chol kelav, v'amizbeach. And this was the v'aron ubanav, v'hamalochim. I think that's a typo. It should say milachim, kings. Ve'adayin kulay kayam, and it still extends. K'mo shomer chazal, ze li ledoy reisechem. V'hu kad ha-shemen shel ha-tsarfis. This is the jug of oil of the isha ha-tsarfis. Sha'amar le'Eliyahu, kad ha-shemen lo sichla. This is the jug that Eliyahu told her. The jug of oil will not be depleted. This was a jug of oil of the wife of Ovadia that she used it to pay off her debts. When Yaakov saw shekol kach nisim asaliyos, by that there'll be so many miracles with it, he endangered his life to go get it. And he brought it. Kein matzasi. So the Shach al HaTorah goes so far as to say, so many miracles occurred with this jug. The one miracle he does not bring down that occurred with this jug is he does not say this was the jug used to pour into the menorah in the times of Hanukkah. However, there is an amazing sefer called Yam HaTalmud, a Rav Moshe Yeshua Heschel, which I believe he published it together with a relative named Rabbi Yosef Shaul Halevi Natanzan. And in his Hakdama, he has an expanded version of the Shach. And he says, Va'agav de asikna b'mili de Chanukah. Once I'm talking about matters of Chanukah, Echtav Kan, let me tell you, Masha Amarti, B'yishav Koshas ha-poiskim, Amasha anu madlikim shmane yomim, Kiman shanes lohe rak al shiva yomim, Bovad, Duha al yoim echad hoyo shemen roi ladlik. I bet you never heard this question before. Why is Chanukah 8 days if the miracle was they found oil that lasted, that could have lasted for 1 day, and it lasted miraculously an additional 7 days? So the miracle was 7 days, so why do we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? Right? You never heard that question before. You know who asked that question? The Beis Yosef. Did you know that? It's amazing. It's a good thing we learned something new today. And the Yam HaTalmud wants to offer a new answer to this question. Now look what he says. V'hanira, dinei matzasi b'sefer bircha Shmuel, in the name of the Shach al HaTorah, that jug of oil that Yaakov poured on the stone, it was revealed to him, the pach, and he saw all the miracles. This is the shemen that the kelim of the Mikdash were anointed with, and the melachim, and Eliyahu, and the tsarfis. V'oisoy ha-pach nizgale gam levnei chashmoy noyi. Wow. So here we have, according to the Bercha Shmuel, that this, in fact, was the miraculous jug that was discovered by Yaakov Avinu. That was the jug that ultimately would be used in the times of Chanukah. So it was revealed to Yaakov Avinu. The great jug of oil that would produce the miracle of Chanukah. Marv Raboisai, does anybody know what day of the year did Yaakov Avinu pass away? Sukkos. His yard site is Sukkos. It's brought in the in the Medrash that records the chronology of the Avos HaKadoshim, that Yaakov Avinu was Nifter on Sukkos. Now, how long did they mourn Yaakov Avinu? 30 days, and then they embalmed him 40 days. So a total, Vayitmu Shivim Yoim, 70 days from Tesvav Tishrei, takes you to what? Chafhei Kislev, takes you to Chanukah. So there is a very great connection between Yaakov Avinu and Chanukah, and here we're learning that it was revealed to Yaakov Avinu the jug of Chanukah. Now, so it comes out the miracle was for all 8 days, says the Yama Talmud, because even on the first day, the jug was filled after it was finished using. So I just think it's of note that the whole episode of Yaakov Avinu with Dina, he was Nisrashel in building the Mizbeach, and therefore he had the Tzara of Dina, similar to Klal Yisrael in times of Chanukah. They were Nisrashel, and they had the Tzara of Yavan, and Dina was abducted, and she was violated, similar to the Gzera of the Yavanim, and Yaakov instituted Mila, Keneged the Yavanim, and then Yaakov ultimately restores the Mizbeach, Keneged the Chanukah's HaMizbeach. It is certainly of note then, and we would expect then, that in the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu, there should be a pre-enactment of the miracle of Chanukah. And sure enough, to me it's of note, even before the whole Gezerah of Dina, we have Yaakov Avinu discovering the Pach Shemen of the Chashmonaim, pouring it on the Evan. In other words, Ribon Shem is Boire the Refuah, even before the Makkah. And interestingly, the entire episode, both the Tzara and the Yeshua, are alluded to in the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu. Now, one more thing. There's an amazing Megala Amukos. We know in last week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze. So really, this whole episode extends. Think for a moment, Rabbi Yisai. Yaakov Avinu, he went back for the jug in the beginning of Vayishlach. But the miracle of the oil was experienced all the way back in the beginning of Vayetze. So the episode of Chanukah really stretches from beginning of Vayetze, where Yaakov Avinu experiences the miracle of Chanukah, where he leaves behind the jug and he has to go back to get it in the beginning of Vayishlach, and then the Tzara of Dina is sort of, so to speak, toward the middle of Parshas Vayishlach. At the end of Vayetze, we have this discussion between Yaakov and Lavan. And Yaakov calls it Galed, and Lavan calls it Yigar Sohadusa. So there is an incredible Megala Amukos. Megala Amukos says, V'hinei al ha-posach, v'yikro loy Lavan, Yigar Sohadusa, v'Yaakov karo loy Galed. V'yoymer Lavan, ha-gal ha-za'i b'ini u'b'necha ha-yoym, al-ken kar shemoy Galed. So it's written in the Sefer Megala Amukos. I once saw this in one of the Yeshurun journals. He says, "The Hashem shekara lo Yavan Yigar Sohadusa Yigar Reish Yud Gimel 2:13 Merames Lishnas Reish Yud Gimel." This is a remez to the year 2:13 Kaminyan Yigar Lebinyan Bayasheni. It's year 2:13 of when the Second Temple stood. By the way, this is a great piece of trivia. Nobody's gonna, you know, the Rambam says the miracle of Chanukah. The Rambam says after the miracle of Chanukah, Malchus was returned to the Jewish people for about 200 years. The way to remember that is the miracle of Chanukah took place in year 213 that the Second Temple stood. Gematria Yigar, Reish Yud Gimel. That's when the Klipa of Yavan got strong, and Antiochus shechted a chazer on the Mizbeach. So Yaakov Avinu, to counteract Yigar, he called it Galed, the name which is Merames on the Beis HaMikdash. Galed is Mesiachis to the Beis HaMikdash, like it says, Galed Atali Roish Halavanoin. Yaakov Avinu was Merames to the Chashmonoim, who would eventually daven and pray that to the one who the tefillah of the Chashmonoim was, you heard the tefillah of Shmuel, Bahar HaGilad, please hear our tefillah, and they wanted to be mechanech mechadash the Beis Hamikdash to the Chashmonaim, that the Chashmonaim, the Yevanim, were so to speak ascended in the year Yigar 213 of the Second Temple, And Le'umaseh Yaakov Avinu called it Galed. So here we have in the whole lifetime of Yaakov Avinu experienced four tsarais. He said, Lo shalavti, that's Bavel. Lo shakarati, that's Madai. Lo nachti is Yavan. Vayavai roiges is Edom. And nachti refers to Dina, and nachti refers to Yavan. And these two tsarais are parallel of each other. These are both tsaras that were precipitated by being the Sirashel Ba'avoida. They both culminated in the pure rededication of the Mizbeach without relying on Tumah. Yaakov Avinu was Hasiru Lehei Anechar Mitoicham. And the miracle of Chanukah had been alluded to Yaakov Avinu even prior to the Tsar of Dina in the beginning of Ayetze. And when Yaakov Avinu returned, Lekadoi, not Levada, but Lekadoi, he was trying to ensure that before he would have to face the episode of Shechem, he would have within his possession that Kad HaShemen that would ultimately bring the miracle of Chanukah. Okay, Rabbi, so that's what I got for you today. I want to wish everyone a wonderful day. 5:30 is the Shir on the Bir, on the Igaras Hagra. And wishing everyone Yom Tov. Kol Tov, everyone.
Thank you.
Kol Tov, Kol Tov.
Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.